James chapter 1, verse 5. This morning I intend to try to be as practical as I can regarding prayer. We're going to look at three passages in James, so keep your Bibles open. We have all listened to someone talk about something or describe how to do something, and the thought occurred to us, this person is so smart and knows so much about the topic, he is not making sense to me, and I am not getting it. I doubt this morning that you're going to have that problem. Maybe the thought that you had is I don't know how to apply what this person is telling me. So this morning, as we look at the book of James, it's a very practical book that some have called the gospel in shoe leather. James mentions prayer three different times in three passages because prayer is practical. James chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Prayer helps you have faith without doubt. Prayer answers the first favorite question that we all want to ask, and that is, why? He starts out the book after his initial greetings. He says, "Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Trials come. Difficulties come. Hard times come. And we're to consider it all joy? You know, part of our problem is and I wanted to share with you the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is facts. Wisdom is understanding. We're to consider it all joy that our faith is being tested so that we might it might produce in us endurance. We're to consider that all joy. We need to understand that, because just like your muscles that only grow under strain, the same is true for your faith. And God wants your faith in Him to grow. And so He allows things to come into our lives. Now, honestly, there are things that come into our lives because we've made choices. And sometimes we encounter various trials and things that hurt, and we deal with hard times, and they're because of the sin in your life. But not always. Sometimes God allows things into our lives that will cause growth. So we need to ask God for the wisdom to understand, and He will give it generously. Here's a better definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the knowledge of how to regulate your relationship with God. And so pray for wisdom. Pray to see or understand things in life from God's perspective. I don't know if they still do it, and I've heard of other places, but they used to have a corn maze west of Winston-Salem. Never did go to it, but you understand what a maze is. It's when you're in a tunnel, like, and you can't see where to go. And so you turn and you turn and you turn, and sometimes you find your way out and sometimes you don't. But what if you could stand up on your tippy toes and see over by 30 feet? We could find our way out. And sometimes that's what we need to ask for in terms of wisdom. We need to see from God's perspective and find our way out. So once you pray for wisdom, trust that God will give it to you. Have faith in God. Ask for wisdom. Pray for wisdom about all the things going on in your life. Because if you doubt God in any way, it is to call into question His character. His character. And remember that God is good to all who call on Him. He gives with an open hand, without reservation. Even if sometimes we ask in a rude way. Jack, you almost stole some of my thunder today, but you did it rightly so. We need to ask for God's wisdom. He is good to all who calls on Him. His giving is not meant to cause the recipient to think that he is reluctant to give what is for our good. Pray through the difficulties in life. One of the D-Men courses that I took at CIU was a course called Focused Living. I think I took it in like 2004, 2005, somewhere in there, nearly 10 years ago now. I remember thinking as I did the pre-class reading, which was always thousands of pages, I remember thinking, I don't understand this. I don't understand why I have to read this. I don't understand what the course is going to do. But what the course ended up doing is what this passage in James is talking about. It helped me to see. It helped me to understand. It was God's gift of wisdom to me about how my life and my faith had been shaped. One of the things that we ended up with doing was creating this sheet. We wrote stuff down, then we transferred it to these little sticky notes. I'm not sure what I would add to it now if I sat down and did it again. And the instructor was very explicit in the syllabus that we were to buy certain colored sticky notes, one of which was pink. He said, remember that P starts the word pink and the word pain. You see, there was a lot of painful things in my life as I look back on it. And I realized after that course how God had used all those painful things to shape me. Did I enjoy the pain? Who does? Do I appreciate the pain? Yes, I do. Do you appreciate the things in your life? As you think back on your life, as you think back on this past year, what do you do? What do you see God doing to shape you and mold you? Was it all good? Probably not. And that is part of what tonight is about. As we come together at 5 o'clock in what Scripture calls a solemn assembly, it is to pray back over 2014. It is an opportunity for us to come together and to pray back. Do you see how significant the difficult times were in your life? And how much you learned about yourself? How much you learned about life? How much you learned about the Lord? When the difficult times come, how will you pray? Will you pray for God to give you wisdom? Sometimes we pray today for wisdom about what happened yesterday, and it might be a week, it might be a month. But at some point, God will give us understanding, and He will help us gain a little bit of understanding of why things happen. Too often, we pray for the pain of the trial to end when the pain is God's way of getting our attention. So don't waste the pain. Don't waste the pain. Learn to ask for what it is God is trying to teach you and pray that you won't miss it. Pray for your heart to be open and soft before Him. Pray for God to speak into your life. Pray. Prayer is practical. Let's look at James chapter 4 for a moment, verses 2 and 3. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Prayer is practical because it makes the connection for you of God as your source. As your source. Prayer helps you have faith without doubt. James is writing to a group here, a church. He identified the source of their conflicts. First, he says that they did not have because they did not ask. Do you need wisdom? Maybe it's something more tangible. Have you asked? He said the first problem that you have is you have not asked. Prayer is very practical, so you must pray. We are to look to God as the source. The wellspring of refreshment is the idea. And as a group of people who claim to know and love God, to trust Him with their eternal as well as their temporal lives, their actions didn't show it. If you're hungry, do you ask God for something to eat? You say, no, I go into the kitchen. Or I go back into the storeroom and I get something to eat. When what we need to do is realize that God is giving us everything, whether it be today's bread or every tomorrow that He gives us, the bread for that day. We need to look to God as our source. The people James was writing to were not a praying people. You've heard the story of the visitor saying to the person in the hospital, I will pray for you. And the person said, oh, has it come to that? Well, yes, it has come to that. And we need to pray for God to give us whatever it is that we think that we need. The second cause of their conflicts was what they desired. So we need to first remedy the problem that we're not asking, but then we need to remedy the problem that we're asking with the wrong motives. They asked with the wrong motives, and their desire was for personal comfort. See, that goes back to the question, am I glad when God makes much of me? And the sad truth is yes, Lord, I'm glad when everything goes just like I want. Or am I really glad when He allows me to make much of Him? Because oftentimes you know as well as I do that those things are completely, completely, completely different. James says that we need to get past not asking and then deal with the conflicts which are our wrong motives. James used very strong language to describe them. He called them adulterers. And the absolute truth is some of us are. We say we love the Lord. We say that He is the most important part of our life. But then we act like we don't care about Him. And so he says, part of the problem is you don't ask, and part of the problem is you ask with the wrong motives. The people's problem was they said that their closest relationship was with the Lord, but the truth of it was their closest relationship was with the world. And they looked to the world as their source, not the Lord. And their prayer life reflected that. Years ago, I took a youth group to Carowinds in Charlotte for some youth event. It was the middle of summer, and it was hot, and we were there all day. When we left Carowinds, we did not go straight home. We went to the hospital, because by that point in the evening, one of the youth had developed dehydration to the point that the child was nauseous. I mean, we were that close to having a real, 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 real big problem. Because all day long, this youth had only drank soft drinks. Only the fake. Instead of drinking that which ultimately satisfied the body, the youth had only taken in the fake. And that's just like some of the folks that James is describing here. They wanted only the fake. So where are you looking? To the fake? To the world? Or to the real, to the Lord? What is the source for all you need? If you say, well, I have enough money to go to the grocery store to buy something to eat. I have enough money for this. I have enough money for that. Then you're looking to the fake. Because the real source of it all for everything that we need is the Lord Himself. So tell me, are you a praying person? How much do you pray? Tonight is a time for us to seek the real source, the important part of life, the Lord. Does the amount of time you reflect that your relationship with the Lord is the most important part of your life? However much you pray every day, pray a minute more. Pray a minute more. And then when you've got that conquered, and pray another minute the next week. And when you've got that conquered, pray another minute. I wish I held the attitude I heard someone voice about busyness in prayer. I too easily think I have too much to do to pray. And the person that I read said, I have so much to do, I must pray. What do you pray about, and who do you pray for? If you think of what you pray about in terms of concentric circles, and the closest circle in your prayer life might be your family, and then the second concentric circle out might be your extended family, and the next one is maybe your church family. Do you ever get past the second or third circle? I pray for my spouse and for my family. Do I pray for your spouse and your family? I pray for this church to grow, but am I praying for God's kingdom to be enlarged whether I see it or not? Am I praying for the persecuted church? Am I praying for missionaries that I know, that I've worked alongside? Do my prayers reflect a personal, selfish motive? Or do my prayers reflect the heart of God? We are to pray because prayer is practical. Let's read chapter 5, verse 13. We're going to read James 5, 13 to 16. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is any among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church. They are to anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And if you haven't heard any other part of it, then hear this. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Prayer is practical as you begin to pray effective prayer. Prayer helps you have faith without doubt. We are to turn to God during the hard times of life, the times of suffering or affliction. We are to turn to Him also in the good times of life, when everything is going just as the way you want. Praising the Lord is to be a part of prayer, but it is so easily forgotten when things seem to be flying apart. Effective prayer is also done for the sick. The sick are to call for others, especially the leaders of the church, to pray for them. And then it's going to happen. We live in a fallen world where bodies break down and diseases happen, and that is one source of sickness. The other source is dealt with in verse 15 and the first part of 16. Sometimes what happens to us physically is because we have willfully sinned against God. Not always, but sometimes. And so we need to do that. And the last part of verse 16 may be the most critical verse about prayer. And it is one that I've always thought is the one part about prayer that I really have some control over. Besides the fact that I am to be a praying person, I am to be a righteous and holy person. So I need to go before God on a regular basis, at least daily, if not hourly, and say, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart and show me if there be any wicked way within me. My heart needs to be open. Your heart needs to be open and soft and tender before the Lord. You need to ask Him. It is not an elite believer who prays effectively. It is the effective prayer of a righteous man. The person whose prayer is effective is the person who is righteous, who is in right relationship with the Lord, who has a close, real relationship with the Lord. And this person deals with their hearts on a timely, honest, open fashion. Forgive us our sins is not thrown in as an afterthought. Sometimes it is the most important part of our prayer. And then that person prays and prays and prays and prays. Because prayer is practical. Have you had just about enough of football lately? I have watched football. If you've watched any of the college bowl games of the last couple weeks, and there's still one tonight, I think, did any of the teams involved look like they were going through the motions? If we say that about someone, it means that the person may have been doing what they're supposed to have been doing, but they just didn't care. A comment made about one team was, they looked like they wished they weren't here. Unfortunately, that was said about my Oklahoma Sooners. Clemson, who, even though I am a Clemson fan, I wish they had not embarrassed them quite like that. But boy, did they ever. It was also said about another team, late in the game, they were described as, they've quit. And that was Florida State. In the semifinals of the national championship. They've quit. Effective prayer is not going through the motions. Effective prayer happens when you are real with the Lord. Effective prayer happens when you pray not once and then quitting, but effective prayer is persistent prayer. Do you believe in prayer or do you practice prayer? I've often thought that when people say, boy, I believe in prayer, I don't. I believe in the God who answers prayer. I need to practice prayer. I need to be the one praying. Do you pray when things seem to be falling apart? Sure we do. But do you pray when everything is going just like you'd hoped? Do you pray? When you pray about the Lord doing something or answering something, do you pray to the point that you have no opinion about the matter? What is it about your heart this morning? What is your heart's condition? Are you the person that was described in the latter part of 16 there? The effective prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman? Or are you someone who prays and doesn't really care about being real and honest with the Lord about themselves? What is your heart condition this morning? Are you honest with yourself about yourself? Prayer is practical. Tonight at 5 is that opportunity for us to come together and pray. Everything else can wait. Unless you are providentially hindered, I believe that the Lord expects you to be here praying. We're going to pray through not only this past year, but the year to come. You may need to pray to sort out the difficulties you're in. I don't know everything that everyone's going through. But if we take another breath for very many more days, something difficult, something trying, something painful is going to come into our life. And you need to seek out the Lord as an answer to that, but you also need to seek out the Lord as the source for all you need. It's not the world, it's not what the world can offer you, it is the Lord who satisfies us. So we need to begin now to pray effective prayer, prayer that is open, transparent with the Lord. We need to pray. Now we're going to pray, but you need to respond because, see, when I dealt with a heart that is not true, I may have been dealing with your heart. I don't know. But pray that the Lord would speak into your heart and your life.